already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working everything for my good.
He walks beside me.
Aren't you glad that he does?
And heaven is in my view.
Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Oh, yes, I'm gonna make it. Say it like you believe it.
He's already said.
Have you got confidence in him that he's going to take you through? Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord tonight. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Play some more of that, guys, if you will. Praise the Lord.
Let's sing that together one more time, if you will. We're going to make it, church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, yes, now I'm going to make it. He's already said. Sing that one more time with all your heart. Oh, yeah. the Lord. Well, what a time it is to be a believer. What a glorious time it is to be a Christian. What a time it is to be a believer in this great message that the Lord has set before us. I'm glad about it. How about you tonight? I don't dread it. I don't sweat it. I just believe it. I can't help it. I believe it. I can't help it. You're here tonight. You're a believer. You can't help it. Aren't you glad you can't help it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a great hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we had church around here over the weekend, didn't we? Did you enjoy service? The word of the Lord gets better all the time, doesn't it? Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at some prayer requests. This comes from Sister Peggy Larson from Wisconsin. This is just an update. I will be having brain surgery on Monday, May the 8th at 9 o'clock a.m. I am expecting great things from my Lord, His mercy and grace, for His arm is not short. He delivers, saves, and is very faithful. Please keep me in your prayers. May God bless each of you. Love, Sister Peggy Larson. She's the sister that streams these services from Wisconsin. So we certainly want to remember her in prayer tonight. Glenda and I met a lady today. Didn't know who she was. She just asked us where we went to church. And we told her. And her husband is on death row in a state prison in Nashville, Tennessee. And she's just asking that. She's just asking for help. Just pray that the Lord would intervene. And He knows the situation. We don't. But we just pray that God would help her and that situation. And may God be merciful to those folks as we pray for them tonight. I want to pray for Brother Orville Reese. He has an appointment at the VA on Friday morning, having some tests done on his hip. Pray that all will be well. So, Brother Orville, we just commit you to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Ben Boone. He is in the hospital with a blood infection, needs a healing touch. This is Sister Boone's great-grandson, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord will be mindful of that. Sister Barbara Grabley called to request prayer for Brother Bert. He has a fever, hasn't felt well since being in the services this past weekend, so let's pray for those folks tonight. Sister Deborah Donovan from Florida called, has a very urgent unspoken prayer request concerning a situation in the home. She is trusting in our prayers, so we want to remember that need tonight. Brother Baker says, please have prayer for me. I have a bad swollen foot. It is extremely red. The doctor said it was cellulitis. I want to thank the Lord in advance for my healing, so we just commit that to the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Sandra McGraw asked for prayer tonight, a very severe abdominal problem. Just ask that we would really remember her. Also wants to be right with God, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Also, please remember those in Arkansas and Missouri having to evacuate their homes from severe flooding, so we want to remember that tonight. Brother Fred Perry wants us to remember him in prayer, a contract that he was offered. Today, I would have to miss a lot of church or would have to move, but I love and need Happy Valley. And he just asking that we would help him pray that the Lord would just give him peace and be in his perfect divine will. Brother Matt Carter sends this in to please pray for Wallace Keene, a good friend. He was a former landlord of ours and he treated us wonderful. He has prostate cancer, so they're asking that we would remember that need tonight as well. Well, we just got a lot to ask the Lord about tonight, don't we? How many of you know He's more than able to meet whatever we have need of? Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Isn't He the greatest thing that ever got a hold of our lives? Do you love Him tonight with all your heart? Brother Phil Goulds, would you come tonight? Let's stand. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. We know He's more than able to meet our needs tonight. Brother Phil, God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy. The Lord bless you, honey. Appreciate you.
You know, sometimes I don't think I ever come in here, and I say to myself, I can't believe the Lord allows me to come here, to sit under the ministry we sit under, to hear what we hear, and the faith that's placed in our hearts. We are a blessed people. Help me pray, please. Heavenly Father, first we want to come before you, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart for your countless blessings you give to us, Lord. And I know, Lord, in our human veil, we can't really understand or clearly see what all you've done for us, Lord. But what we do see, Lord, it's just, we just can't find the words to express our appreciation and love to you, Lord. Father, for all these needs, we bring them before you, Lord. We know no matter how many they are, no matter the situation, how hard it is, difficult, or whatever, Lord, we know that you're more than able. We're comfortable and at peace, Lord, knowing we can place them in your hands, knowing that you hear us, knowing that you care, Lord. So we humbly ask you to move for each need. And when these needs are met or you move in whatever way you see fit, Lord, may each one realize that they received help from you. Give you glory and honor for it, Lord. Bless the remainder of the service, Lord. We sure look forward to hear what you've got to say to us through our pastor. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we're going to receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Now, let me, got two or three announcements I want to make to you tonight. If you'll be attentive and listen to this, we want to acknowledge Brother Emmanuel and Sister Carol Wade just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless them tonight. We appreciate them. Amen. 50 years. Brother Wade, that's a life sentence. That's what that is. Amen. I know you're tickled to death with Sister Carol Wade. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome to the service tonight Brother Joe McCartney, right over here. God bless you, Brother Joe. Give him a nice hand tonight. Certainly glad to have him in the service. Now, this was brought to our attention again. We made this announcement some time back, and children are going to be children regardless of what we think. And we try to make grown-ups out of little children, and it just don't work. But now this is where it falls your responsibility as a parent. The other night, there was a small child just about got struck by the elevator while it was in motion. So please watch your little children. Watch them. Don't want no catastrophe happening here on these grounds and somebody get hurt or even worse. So please watch your little children and be mindful of that elevator out there and cars, different things in the parking lot. Let's just watch your children, okay? Everybody going to do that? And everybody going to help me sing? You ain't going to wad up on me, are you? All right, somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. I never shall forget the day. Let's sing about it tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, buddy. We're following you.
Long years ago, when out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees,
oh, yes,
in agony.
Thank you, Lord.
I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free.
Oh, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away.
It made me happy, glad. Side, my feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me.
Yes,
through him or sin, I know I have the victory.
Everything to me.
Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now, and at his dear feet, just humbly bow, confess to Him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within.
I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul He rolled away.
Sinner, come to our sweet Jesus now, and at His dear feet, all you gotta do is just humbly bow.
Confess to Him your every sin.
Thank you, Father.
He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within.
Oh, yes, He will. Sing that for you tonight, Sister Tessa. Somebody ought to testify. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it. You want to do that second verse for me, and then we'll go right into that. We got a bad roar up here on the platform. I don't know if you can do anything about it or not, what the problem is, but if you could take care of that, if you can, we'd appreciate it. If we can do something up here, we'll do it too. But I don't know what to do. But somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to say something about it. He's the greatest thing that ever touched you. I'll tell you that. Praise the Lord. Sing that verse for me, buddy.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
Yes, Lord.
For God I live. For God I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Say, for my God I live. For God I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Times in my life when I was down in despair, fell down on my knees, I called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His blessings, I named Him one by one, but most of all I thank You, Lord, for all that You've done.
Oh, somebody ought to testify.
How God took the heat out of that fiery fire. Oh, come here. God I live, for God I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Those three Hebrew boys,
Brother Brandon Green,
can testify how God took the heat out of that fiery fire. Come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lions were made pillows for my head to lay. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
One more hand, have a praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for singing so good tonight. I appreciate your participation. Give Brother Brandon a nice hand tonight as he sings.
Can you see, brothers? Praise the Lord. Appreciate the church praying for my uncle. Just continue to keep him in your prayers. We're holding a positive testimony for him. And his name's Steve, so we appreciate your prayers so much.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, in heaven. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain will be broken. Turn.
Though I can see your holy face and your throne in heaven above, it seems so far away. And though I can touch your nailed, scarred hands, I have a deep, unspeakable joy that makes my faith to stand. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you above. You were God's only chosen one. You are the one and only true way to the Father's heart. You died for my but then you rose and now live again, conquering death and the grave.
So blessed to be able to believe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 23, verse 16. Can we believe when hard times come? Can we believe when difficult times come? That's when it really proves that we're real believers, doesn't it? Acts 23:16, and when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is this that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they're lying wait of him more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. Now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. But there's a higher power.
Amen.
There's a higher power. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we have the ability given to us by you to be able to believe you. We know that a person can love and even love God and still be a devil, your prophet taught us. But if we truly can believe you and love you from the soul, we are so, so blessed. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would take your word. Father, give us a little bit more clear understanding of the book of Acts, how it was lived out in the lives of your people. We thank you, Father, for the supernatural, but we also thank you for the natural that sometimes you take over into your hands and work it into the providence of God. I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to all your workings in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Verse 22, so the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things unto me. I don't know that if you realize it or not, God has just performed something supernatural. This leader, being a Roman, did not have a very great opinion of Paul. Many of the Romans did not care for the Jews nor their religion. They did not care for all the particulars about the thou shalt and thou shalt not. To them it made no sense whatsoever. The Jews believed in one God. The Jews offered sacrifice to one God. The Romans' religion was so different, and it seems so difficult for them to try to comprehend. Before they would send a new governor to the land of Jerusalem, before they would send a ruler, a judge, whatever more, they would have to school them in understanding the law of the Jews. Because they'd worked out somewhat of an understanding and an agreement between them. In order to keep peace, they would give the priest an element of authority. They had given to the priest the authority that if anyone came against the temple, the priest had the right to kill them. They'd given them an element of authority that if they questioned the Mosaic law. Now the Romans didn't understand it themselves, but they found this was the key in order to keep some peace. But you're this man, he was already, his freedom had been purchased. Now remember, he wasn't actually a Roman by birth, but he had taken on a Roman name. So he was more Roman, definitely, than he was Jewish in understanding. But now God has moved on this man's heart. Supernaturally, something was done. Because you can tell by the way the man had addressed Paul prior to this, that he really didn't have a lot of time for him. But now all of a sudden, this young man comes and explains to him, there's no other witnesses other than him. There's no other Roman guards. No one has come up and avowed that what this boy has said is even the truth. And yet this man takes this boy's word that this is fixing to happen. He has nobody else's verification of it. What do you think did that? I personally believe it was the Spirit of God that moved upon this man's heart. Now, notice how that God is going to provide for his messenger. Now, notice in this that Paul is going on his way to Rome. Remember, the Lord Jesus told him, as you have witnessed for me in Jerusalem, so you're going to witness in Rome. Now, had he led it to his own, God, Paul could have made the journey. He could have wound up there in Rome. But God's got a better way. You know, God may be going to take you from point A to point B, and then our mind, we may think, well, maybe God will lead me this way and that way, and God's way may be entirely different, and it may look difficult somewhat to us, but God's way is always the best way, even if it's not the most direct way. Sometimes his way may lead us way over here and may over there, but you know, whenever we go God's way, we'll always be blessed when we're following in the line of duty, even though our way may be straighter, it may be quicker, but more than likely, it will not be the right way. Because let's just face the truth. Most of the time, our ways ain't right no way. Amen, Brother Donnie. Go ahead and preach. We're with you now, brother. Now, watch what a strong guard that God is going to give him. Now, these soldiers are not sent there to protect this holiness preacher. This is not part of their requirement. God is going to work it out in such a way that they're going to take nearly half of the Roman garrison to be able to escort this man out of this city. This is not what they're even sworn to do. This is not what they gave their allegiance to do. But this is what God is going to make them do. Amen. When God's got a plan, he will actually make the enemy work it out if need be. That's exactly right. Now, you realize, friends, that how many times in our lives has God done things supernaturally when we wasn't even aware? And as I said last Wednesday night, we look for it to be angels, or we look for it to come in a, you know, a way of feeding or in a manner of church, and it may not be that way at all. God is fixing to move for this man in a supernatural way that the saints of Jerusalem's going to have not one thing to do, is it? The saints of Galatia, the saints of Philippi, the saints of Corinth, not one saint of God is fixing to have anything to do with the protection that God is going to provide for this man. And once you look at it, it couldn't be a better way. But yet God's going to use heathens. God is going to use heathen soldiers, a heathen captain, heathen centurions, heathen Roman law. God is going to use all of these things to protect his prophet. Why not use the saints? Because God chose to use this way. Praise the Lord. You realize God, what's he want to do? He wants to show to us in the book of Acts. I'm so glad that Luke was a very open-minded penman that would write this down. It did not bother Luke to write down these things as if though it would take away from the supernatural power of God. Praise the Lord. You know what? If you're sick in your body and you can take a pill to help you, you're a nut if you don't take it. If you've got a lack in your body, you can take a supplement to help us out. My, don't waste my time coming up and praying, having me to pray for you when you're not doing everything you ought to do yourself.
Praise the Lord. You're not eating right. You're not doing this right and that right. And you want me to pray it off of you. Don't waste my time like that. Do what you can do. Praise the Lord, Brother Donnie. Do what you can do. Try to take care of yourself. Do the things that God's given us to do. And God will do His part, more than His part. Oh my. When God's got a work to do, He will provide the instruments, whether or not they meet our approval. Amen. Now notice in verse 23, and He called unto Him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers. 200 soldiers. Now, a centurion was a man that was over 100 men apiece. So there's two centurions, which is 200 soldiers. Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea. And horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, and at the third hour of the night. So here we go. This is Paul's repertoire that he's going out at nighttime again. So they're going to take him out at 9:00. Oh my. Isn't it amazing? God let him down a wall in a basket one night by some Holy Ghost saints. This time he's taking hundreds and hundreds of Roman soldiers, and they're leaving out at 9:00 at night. But I imagine Paul was so happy to get out of there. He didn't care if it was a Boeing 787 or if it was on the back of a Roman horse. It wouldn't make no difference. As long as God's delivered him, so be it. Amen. I guarantee you one thing. If you ever get in trouble deep enough, you won't care if it's a chariot or if it's the back of a mule. If you can get out, you're ready to adios, amigos. You're ready to head out of Dodge. And I mean now. If we could only realize, friends, that just because God's going to use a Roman captain, He's going to use Roman soldiers, He's going to use Roman horses, He's going to use the Roman law, the Roman government. Every way you look is Roman, Roman, Roman. You think Paul said, I said, well, Lord, I ain't going to go out of here. I'm waiting for an angel. You sent Peter an angel. Don't you love me as much as you loved him? You sent Peter an angel and sent me a Roman captain? Oh, my. He didn't stand there and argue. He said, let's go, boys. I'm ready to head out of here. We ought to be exactly the same way. If God wants to perform a miracle in your body and heal you, praise God. If God wants to let a doctor get in there and remove a part and then give you some therapy, praise God. If God wants to give you some type of medication, take it, brother. Praise God. However it is, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be healed. Whether it's a Roman soldier, a Roman donkey, a Roman chariot, just get me out of here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My, now, where they're going, of course, is a seaport town. Felix, the governor, is actually located there. Now, God is fixing to work this out. The promise of God that's given to Paul that he's going to Rome. So the escort consists of 200 footmen, 200 spearmen, a large guard of protection for one holiness preacher. Praise God. You imagine the devil was madder than a hornet. I mean, because the devil was the one that was actually manipulating Rome. And you imagine what the news went down in hell. When it come back down into hell, Satan, you ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. The Romans, they're not killing this guy. They're actually standing up for him. He's got two centurions. He's got two bands of 100 men. He's got all these foot soldiers. He's got all these men that are professional spearmen. I mean, they are treating this guy as if he is some royal elite person. He was a precious cargo. Why don't they turn on him? I'll tell you why. God wouldn't let them. Why don't people sometimes, you look out there and say, Brother Donnie, it's peculiar. It is not. The Lord Jesus said, make friends of mammon. You may need them at times. Come on now. Well, you say, I never heard of such stuff in my life. Well, it's not my fault that you don't listen to the message more. As a matter of fact, if you'd listen to the message very close, you'd find out Brother Ben said when they got ready to enlarge the tabernacle that the city wasn't going to let him do it. And he said a Roman Catholic that was on the city board stood up for them and said, why you let all the rest of them build onto their church? I know the pastor. I know all them people. He's a good friend of mine. Brother Ram said he was a Roman Catholic that stood up for them. And you know what? God used that Roman Catholic to let them enlarge the Branham Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Well, the man probably never come to the message. Who knows? But maybe God put him right there at that spot for that one particular thing. Amen, amen. Lord, children, if we could realize how much He loves us, He don't just work with saints on your behalf. He'll move on the United States government. He'll move on North Korea and South Korea and Australia. Whatever He's got to do, He's going to do it to get you there. Praise be to God. 470 soldiers. And the Roman citizens are paying for it. God made Pharaoh feed, clothe, and shod Moses. Made him train him and teach him and all the stuff. He's going to make him go through all this stuff so that God can use it and turn around and unlearn him all the stuff that he learned him. But it's a great lesson. God said, why should I go to all that expense, Pharaoh? You pay half and I'll pay the other half. You train him what to do and I'll done train him what to do. Don't you understand what he done at the cross? The devil was blinded to the very power of what was taking place at that cross. Looking back, sure, you and I can see the scripture, but the devil walked right into it blindly, Brother Darrell. He'd have never done that if he would have realized what was going on. Can you imagine whenever Jesus actually died on the cross and he wound up in hell knocking on the door? I imagine when he took the keys off the devil's side and he went back out of hell and emptied out paradise, the devil threw the office temper fit that ever was. He was kicking stuff down around in hell and say, I can't believe I've done what I've just done. I can't believe I helped crucify him. I cannot believe I'm the very one who sent the bee of death up there to buzz around his head. I cannot believe what I've done. Oh, glory to God. I'm sure he does the same thing with you sometimes. When God will take that trial and turn it into a blessing, the devil said, I can't believe I've just done that. I can't believe I've just done that. I can't believe I just played into that part. There ain't nothing gonna stop his program. Amen. 470 men to protect one guy. It ain't like there's 470 of the Sicarii, the Jewish assassins. There's only 40 of them. So God multiplied it by 10 and added 70. All right, devil, you got 40. I'll beat you again. Praise God. And I ain't sending down saints. I ain't sending down angels. I'm going to move on that captain's heart. So all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to move on him. And he began to tally numbers and put this together. Let this happen. Let that happen. Let that happen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My judge got talking about it later. Said, what in the world did I do that for? I mean, I think I went a little overboard, didn't I? God said, no, you're just exactly right. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And he called unto him 2 centurions, say, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and the horsemen 70, and the spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. Now remember the way they kept time. The first hour was from 6 to 7, second from 7 to 8, and then from 8 to 9. The third hour of the night would have been 9 o'clock. So here again we go with this holiness preacher being slipped out after dark. He has quite a resume, don't he? Seems to appear a lot in the darkness in the nighttime. Now, this soldier is of course, he has a responsibility. He don't even know what's going on. He doesn't even realize, no doubt, that he's been motivated by another force. He's just thinking with his mental makeup and his military might and all that sort of thing, and the Spirit of God is moving on his life. Now listen to this. Verse 24, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on, which is out of cater totally. Normally, they'd make a prisoner walk. but they hired him a taxi. Hey, it was a pretty good taxi in that day. It was a Roman. Now look, a lot of these soldiers were footmen. They were not riding. But God said, Paul, buddy, you've walked enough. I'm going to let you ride over. Well, he said, Lord, I won't complain on that. Thank you. I'll take this Roman Cadillac. Yes, sir. Amen. I'll agree with that. I have no problem with that. You imagine, friends, that God so loved you. You think God can do the same for you? Look, when you're going to have surgery, Lord, pray. Lord, which surgeon can help me? Which doctor should I go? Lord, where can I go? Where should I live? Lord, how should I trade car? You say, you mean you ask him that nearly every step of my life, I ask him. When I'm fixing to repair something, I can't figure it out. Happened to me one day this week. I was trying to fix something, and I looked at that thing, and I looked at it, and I could not figure it out. I took it apart. I said, Lord, please help me. I closed my eyes and held what is working on in my hand, and when I said, Lord Jesus, please help me. And when I opened my eyes fell on the parts that I was trying to find. Oh, my, it'd been there all along. So when I opened my eyes, it was right on that door latch, and right there it was. I took a screwdriver and slipped it open, and there it was. I said, praise be to God. You say that's crazy. You don't blame me if you don't have that kind of relationship with God. Well, you say, I wouldn't trouble him. It ain't no trouble. He knows everything anyhow. Why should I waste an hour and a half of my time when he knows all things? He wants you to come to him, friends. He wants you to come to him. Praise be to God. Provide them beasts that Paul, that you may set Paul on and bring him safe. Safe. Not dead or alive. Safe. Unto Felix the governor. Amen. Praise be to God. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, send us greeting. And remember, Claudius was the Roman name he would have taken after purchasing his freedom. Lysias was his Greek name, which was the family name. Now he addresses him in the honorary title of his office, Most Excellent Felix. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Right. Yeah, still unconverted, ain't you, old boy? Now watch what he's trying to do. Make himself look good. Now it never happened this way. You know it. We've been through it. He did not save him because he knew he was a Roman. He actually thought he was an Egyptian. But of course that didn't make the letter. Praise the Lord. Now watch, a typical human being helping even the saints of God. They want honor. They want glory. Well, hallelujah. You can see a lot of times with preachers then that need so much honor and glory, they're still Roman. Well, hallelujah. Now, I came with the army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now, of course, you know what? There's still positions that are higher than him, and this might get him a rank. You know, he might get raised a little bit. He might be a little higher, because now I'll tell you one thing. I've done this, because, man, I'll tell you what, I keep this law, and I understood he was a Roman, and I just wanted you to know it. Now, the official letter, of course, he's going to write to Felix and express what he knows about the situation, and going to present the cause to him. Now, Felix, you imagine this is going to be quite something whenever he sees this man with all this entourage of guards. Now, he said, it is true that this man did raise some kind of tumult, and I seen that he was a Roman, and I come to his rescue. When I would have known the cause wherefore they accuse him, I brought him forth unto their council. So far, so good. This is true. Whom I perceive to be accused of questions of their law. Now watch how he addresses this. Questions of their law. But to have nothing laid to his charge. Come on now, devil. Tell us what you found. Give us your evidence. Having nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. Of course, he didn't tell him that he was fixing to have him beat. Now watch, he's writing this after his sight has become more clear. Oh, listen to me, saints. Oh, listen, how that this man now standing on this side of it, or it was this way and this way and this way, he's not giving every little particular that actually had the people to come in and they were fixing to torment him and they were going to beat him. And this how he said, no, in reality, I mean, I knew there was nothing worthy of death. I knew the man was all right. I knew that he was a Roman, of course, and I knew. Don't flesh stink. Don't flesh stink. Come on, just say amen. Yours does too. Oh my. Whom I perceived to be accused of questions of the law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. Now, you know, there's something peculiar about Luke, how that Luke, through the scriptures here, makes an identity of the Roman government in the official statements, how that Luke identifies the Christians when he writes about them in their association with the Roman government, that the Christians are never actually legally accused of breaking any laws. Luke points it out over and over and over again that the Christians were never criminals by Roman law. Watch this now. The officials in Philippi had apologized to Paul in Acts 16:35-40. Remember we read that. Galileo and Corinth had refused to try him. Acts chapter 18. In Ephesus, the town clerk told 25,000 people that the Christians were innocent of any crime. Acts 19:40. What's the continuity of Luke's thinking now? You see, every man would have wrote something a little bit different. But to Luke, this really stuck out, and he wanted to be recorded in the annals of history that the Christians were not guilty. They were not lawbreakers. They were not troublemakers. They were not murderers. Come on, saints. They was not going around trying to tear up homes and trying to tear up government. They were law-abiding, peaceful citizens. They loved God. May I say today they're the same things. Amen. 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 Now the Roman captain, of course, in the temple fortress was writing the same thing later about what's he say out of his own mouth. Really, I couldn't find anything guilty this guy was guilty of. Go ahead and testify, devil. I'll tell you one thing, praise God, I believe we can live such lives in this life that God can make the devil testify of them peculiar people, them strange people. I don't understand what they believe in, how they dress and this and that. Uh-huh, but who do they give their prayer request to? To you or the bob-haired, painted-faced Jezebel? They give their prayer request to us as the ministers that really stand for the truth, or for them sissies that stand behind their pulpit. Come on, church. It's the truth. Why? Because they know there is a living God among us. Let me tell you something. Don't never let it become common to you. We are a blessed people. The Almighty God Himself gathers with us on this hill. Amen. Not because we are good, not because we are something, but because He is great. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful, and He has given us of His divine favor. Amen. Watch this, even the Jewish leaders in Rome, I put these things down so you can write them down if you wish, in Rome had to confess that they had no official news against Paul in Acts chapter 28, verse 21. Amen. Notice now, in verse 30, when it was told me how that the Jews had laid wait for the man, conveniently leaves out now that it was a little boy. Don't you all tell either. Don't you all tell. It was made known to me that the Jews was laying in wait. I sent straightway to thee. Now watch it. Oh, I done this and that and the other. And gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Praise God. Now began Paul's journey to Rome, carrying with him is his letter of innocence. Glory to God. Let me tell you something, friends. For those of you tonight who are born again, you are not just on your journey to heaven, but you are carrying your letter of innocence. You know what that letter is? Your marriage certificate. Praise be to God. Oh, glory. I don't want to get on that. Oh, my. Amen. It is your marriage certificate, your letter of innocence. Let the devil say what he want to say. Let people say what they want to say. Do whatever they want to do. But I pack with me my letter of innocence. That's why I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear ever standing before God. Amen. If anybody comes, I've got my letter of innocence. My first husband is dead, and I have been reunited again with another nature. I have been joined by a new birth, amen, to my Lord Jesus Christ, and I have my marriage certificate which says I am totally innocent. Amen. 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 Farewell. That's what I'm waiting to say. Glory to God, I can get all done and you can get all done and we can get everybody over in France ready, down in Mexico and everywhere else. We'll all say the same thing. Farewell, little sinner. Farewell, devil. We're out of here. Praise God. We've got our letter of innocence. We've got the token on display. He has dropped down in our soul the faith we need to change our bodies. Farewell. Glory to God. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. So they come out to the castle wall. We're leaving now at 9 o'clock. They've set out from Jerusalem on this journey with this holiness preacher. They ain't never escorted anybody so royal. They probably been around this great king and that great man and this great person. You imagine God said, take care of him now. He's my messenger. Take care of him. He's in my right hand. How could they do anything different? They couldn't kill him until his time was over on the earth. It's the same way with you. Oh, let the devil do whatever he wants to do. Let him bring you right up to death's door. You believe that? Let him attack your body. Let him do whatever. Oh, my, I've been hearing the prophet saying, greatest battle ever fought. The army of the devil puts sickness on and the army of God takes it off. Amen. Oh, the devil will attack us with this and that and the other. And then we turn in prayer requests. And what's it do? Drive the saints of God down on their knees to pray. And God moves through this way and that way and that way. And before long, you're back up on your feet again, turning in testimony after testimony after testimony. And the dumb devil down in hell kicking stuff around again. Said, what in the world did I do? I put that sickness on him. He's stronger now than he ever was. I put that disease on him. He's got more determination than he ever had. So they come all night long. They travel all night. And they arrive by dawn the next morning. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea, delivered the epistle to the governor. Actually, they didn't know it, but they had two epistles. Praise the Lord. They had one from the captain and one from God. Amen. Amen. Don't you understand, when you're packing your Bible, you're not just packing the epistle of Paul. You're not just packing the epistle to the Romans, but you are a written epistle yourself. Thank you, Lord. When they come to Caesarea and deliver the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also, the most important epistle. Hallelujah. Friends, do you understand? The Lord Jesus ain't coming to get our Bibles. As much as we love the prophet's tapes, there will not be one tape in the rapture. as many wonderful things as we've got off of them. And if the Lord would tarry another 50 years, folks will still be getting things off of them, feeding off of them. I listen to them almost every day of my life, sometimes 10, 15 times over and over again. I finished Invisible Union yesterday and started it again. Finished it again today and started it again. I'm still listening. Why? Because you keep getting more and more and more. But the rapture is not for one tape. It's not for one CD. It's not for a Bible. It's for the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh is the light of the day. Not just being in your Bible. Oh, how we love our Bible. But yet the rapture is not for the Bible. When the world catches on fire, our Bibles will burn up. Our church will burn down. Our instruments will be destroyed. But brother, sister, you cannot destroy that living Word. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Notice, now is going to be fulfilled the words of our Savior. Matthew 10:18. You shall be brought before every Christian. Did not fulfill the scripture. Every Christian was not brought before governors, right? And kings. Now Peter was brought before different ones. Even Peter didn't fulfill what Paul did. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, many different men. They were good men and they loved God. But notice Jesus said, ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. You know what's amazing? Paul wasn't even standing there when Jesus said that. But he was standing there when Jesus said that. Amen. I wasn't there when the seals was preached in March, but I was there when the seals was preached. I wasn't there when he preached the mighty God unveiled before us, but I was there when he preached the mighty God. Because as he come down through there and said, I was identified when George Washington, when he knelt there and prayed, he was, I was there on the icy Delaware. Amen! When Moses crossed the Red Sea, I was there. Yes, sir, physically I was not there, but by identification, I was there. I was there when Jesus said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. I was there when he got up out of the tomb that day. I was there in Acts 2 when the Holy Ghost come. I was there when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door to the church. I was there when Wesley said that there's sanctification. I was there on Azusa Street when the Holy Ghost come down. I was there when the angel of God came down and said, I have been sent to tell you of your peculiar births. I was there. I'm going to be there when the body chains come upon the earth. When your bodies are changed, mine's going to be changed with you. The prophet said, I must be taken from this earth, but this message will live on. That was me he was talking about. That was you. One day my voice will last silent in the grave, but this message will live on. Amen. It is. I said amen. He didn't lay his hands on me when he dedicated and ordained them preachers in 1965. He didn't call my name on tape, but he called my name on tape. He didn't call my name, but he called my name. You say, Brother Donnie, you're talking double. No, I'm not. You just ain't hearing me right. He didn't call my name Donnie Reagan. He called my word name. Bride. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He called your name as a Holy Ghost filled believer. My Lord. I'm shooting shotgun tonight. I mean, I'm just going this way and that way and that way. Goodness. Feels pretty good, though. I mean, we're knocking squirrels out and rabbits, coons, ostriches, whatever at the same time. Anyway, we're just, you better get out of here, devil, before we're going to lay it on you. Notice when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. When he understood that he was Sicily. So he reads the letter and he asks,
Where are you from? You see, one day, when we stand before the Lord God, it won't be whether you're black, white, red, or yellow. It'll be, where are you from? And we'll all be able to say the same thing, from you. We came forth from you, and now we are back with you where we came from. This is very important to know where you're from. Where you're from determines who judges you. Where are you from? Do I have authority? Do I have jurisdiction? Now, this is in the natural sense. Do I have jurisdiction over you? If you're a Laodicean, you wind up in tribulation period. I'm bride captured in a Laodicean time body. My soul's in the bride age. My soul's done entered into the millennium, into the eighth day. But my body's still in time. So where am I from? Oh, I'm in the loop. Oh, I'm in the loop. But that ain't where I'm from. I was brought down in the loop of time, but I'm not from the loop of time. Before the loop ever was, I was. Amen. And you was, if you're a part of God. Where are you from? Tell me, and I'll tell you whether I'll judge you or not. I am from you. And you are free. I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. I will hear thee. I will give you a fair and full trial. You come under my jurisdiction. So they keep him. Chapter 24, verse 1. After 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. After 5 days, now they come from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Isn't it amazing they made it overnight, but this big entourage takes them 5 days to get there. Now, I want you to notice who they bring with them. This man has a Roman name. He is very, very slick. Serpent could be his middle name. Tertullus, Serpent, Satan. He is very slick, very polished. As a matter of fact, we've got a few that's left a message that's sort of like this guy. And some that's still around it. Now, he was a Roman by name. Now, remember, these Jews, isn't it amazing? They hated Romans. But they hired this Roman lawyer against this holiness preacher. So they hire this orator. Well, why don't you do it, high priest? Why don't you do it, scribe? Why don't you? Oh, no, 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 no. No, let's get one that understands the Roman law, the Greeks, and this is his profession. He's a professional flatterer and a professional liar. Not all lawyers are liars. God will save some just to prove he can do it. Just like with preachers. Not all preachers is going to hell. God will save some just to prove he can do it. Now he's coming up, this spokesman, and he's going to inform the governor against Paul. When he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. Oh, my, is he a slicker or what? Now, a man who loves flattery and loves praise, you've already got him right there. Now watch, he don't begin on Paul. He doesn't start accusing him. He doesn't bring in the Jews. But he focuses on this man. Get his attention. Get him convinced that you're praising him. This is a true orator now. Now watch him. Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness. Now it cannot be a flatterer just by fictitious things. Actually, he's quoting some things that Felix had done. Felix had had an Egyptian arrested. Felix had stopped robbery. It was real high at this time, so Felix had actually stopped some of the robbery. He had been able to bring an element of peace under his jurisdiction. Him and Hyrcanus had shared the dictatorship, or the governorship, I should say. And Hyrcanus had been replaced to another place, and now Felix had been in this position for about 7.5 years. But he was a murderer. He was a liar. He was a thief. But this guy don't go that way. Now he says, Your Royal Highness, we are so honored that you're in our precinct. Under your governorship, we've had such peace. And I need not go into details, for you yourself know what great things you have greatly done for us, you great person. Oh, so, okay, so he's a great person, right? But I want you to notice when Paul addresses him, he don't even fool with that old carnal nonsense. In verse 3, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix. And with all thankfulness. Now, I'm just not saying this to your face. I say this behind your back. I mean, everywhere we go, all of us talk about how great you are. I hate that stuff. You know, some folks, that's the way they try to do a preacher. They can't just say, God bless you, Brother Donnie. Bless you, Brother Darrell. Brother Horn, that's a great sermon. I enjoyed it. God bless you, brother. Thank you for submitting to God. They have to go on and on and on. And the longer they go, the quicker I want to get away from them. There's an element of glory that don't belong to no preacher. It belongs to God. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you one thing, friends. We ought to thank God for one another. We ought to acknowledge the gifts of God that are among us. But God don't want you worshiping no man. God don't want you making an idol out of no man. And I'm telling you, Happy Valley, you can't make no idol out of me. You can't make no idol out of the prophet of God. God don't want no idols before him. He wants us worshiping him and adoring him and praising him. Men are human beings that God uses. A preacher that has to be flattered all the time needs the Holy Ghost. And may I not just say a preacher, but if you have to be flattered all the time, you need the Holy Ghost. My, my. We accept it always and in all places. Right now, Royal Felix, if you would go down to the local tavern, they're blessing your name. If you go to the market, if you go over there to the tax place. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's not go to the tax place. We'll go over to any other place other than the tax place. We'll go over here. They're all talking about how, you think, how much of this can any man hear without seeing through this? We just want you to know how much we love you. Most noble Felix. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. You're such a busy man. Oh, your time is so longed for. People would love to have these few moments of your time. And I don't want to take of your time because your time is so valuable. 3 hours later, still, people tell me that, you know. Well, yeah, but the truth of it is, Felix wasn't noble at all. He was a sorry governor. Tacitus, the Roman, says of him that in the practice of all kinds of lust, crime and cruelty. He exercised the power of a king with the temperament of a slave. But a man that gratifies the flesh must have some kind of weakness for flattery. Nobody can preach like you. Oh, you're so deep. You're so wonderful. You're so great. Somebody bring me a Dramamine. Well, don't you mispronounce that? No, I didn't. I meant to say it that way. I be not further tedious unto thee. I pray thee that thou would hear us of thy clemency. Whoa. You talking about making some YouTube videos, this dude could make some. Man alive, I'm glad he don't live in our day. Woo! I mean, you talking about really knowing how to put on the dog. But I figure a dog knows how to put on the dog. Sheep don't know how to, but dogs do. I pray thee that thou wouldest cheer us of thy clemency. A few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow. You imagine how he's got Felix, and Felix is sitting there just homed in. Now he turns with his drama and says, we have found this fella to be a pestilent fella. Pointing to Paul, the prisoner now standing at the bar. The word pestilent means pest or plague. Or a pestilence that has broke out among the people. We found this man to be a pestilent fellow. A mover of sedition. Watch his charges. Watch his charges. Sedition among the Roman government. If proven guilty, you were killed immediately. Watch the words of this orator. And keep in mind, he's anointed by your accuser. Your accuser chooses his words selectively and carefully, whether he's coming against your mind or going before your father. He chooses his words very carefully. He knows exactly what to say to make you feel terrible, especially when you've messed up. He don't never choose words of grace and words of clemency and words of forgiveness, but words of condemnation. Words that'll make you feel so low and feel so hopeless. This is exactly what Tertullus is doing as he brings this Paul before him. He wants to accuse him of three Roman crimes. One of them is punishable by death. We found this man to be a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world. Well, Mr. Tertullus, I don't know how in the world you got around so fast to find all this evidence against him. How was it that you got around the world? I mean, this ain't been but about 11 or 12 days since he was arrested. Now, I know they didn't have jets back then. Unless he had a donkey named Jet. And Jet couldn't have got him all the way around the world where this man had been. Praise the Lord. Look at him, he's a liar. Oh, children, if you could only understand it tonight, that devil that comes against you, he ain't nothing but a liar. But he's so powerful with his words, he don't have to tell the truth. If he can present this case to this man, he don't have to have facts. He don't have to have the truth. It's the man who presents it in the most believable way. Watch it now. He wants to make this so profound. He's a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. And a ringleader of this sect of the Nazarenes. Oh my. So they called our brothers a cult. Isn't it amazing you never hear the Baptist denomination called a cult? You don't hear the Methodist denomination called a cult, Episcopalian. Why? Being organized and under the rulership of men, they're not going to call them a cult. But what do they call those who's independent? Those who aren't ruled by a church board and this and that and the other. What do they call you? A sect or a cult? Come on. Then they were called the sect of the Nazarenes. Oh my. A sect of the Nazarene. Now he's going to suggest that Paul had caused several riots, that Paul had caused several sedition, and it was something that it went on around the world. Oh my. We found this man to be a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. This is what the Christians were called when they wanted to use them in a contemptuous way. Sect of the Nazarenes. Who also gone forth about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. Now remember, according to Roman allowance, if a person found profaning the temple of God, they could kill them. The Jews themselves could kill them. This was a heavy charge. It's lies, but it sounds heavy. What was it? Circumstantial evidence. Do you understand? For the most part, that's all the devil's got on you. Circumstantial evidence. So if God can change the circumstances, the evidence disappears. Lord have mercy, somebody ought to shout it with me right there. It's circumstantial evidence. It looks bad. It looks like some man's guilty, but once you clear the circumstances up, he's totally innocent. The devil said, you done this and you done that and you ain't worth this and that and the other. And God said, I'm going to straighten out the circumstances and prove to you they're innocent. Glory. Now watch him. He's going to gouge a little bit. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Now we would have tried him fairly. Well, of course, if he had come before the church board and went before the elders and this and that and the other, we would have tried him fairly. Sure. Sure you would. And really, it's part of y'all's fault because the captain here, now they're resenting him. Why? I wonder why. He's identified with delivering this man. It wasn't his fault. God's the one laid on his heart to do it. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining him of thyself, mayest take knowledge of all these things. We know you'll see it just like us. Where have we accused him? As a matter of fact, there's no need to go any farther. If you want to, just take our word for it. He's guilty. And the Jews also assented. I love the way Luke does this. Luke just kind of crams all them in one little short verse here. Now, no doubt they come up one by one by one by one and give their pack of lies. Well, I searched all the records and I couldn't find where there's nobody killed on that bridge. And I went over here and I talked to so-and-so. And they said this never happened. And I looked up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. And I looked over here and I couldn't. Oh, we're all agreed. We're all agreed. It's a false prophet and a false message. Luke said they all agreed together. And that's all he made out of it. Didn't mean they're telling the truth, but they all agreed. Now, holiness preacher, it's your turn. Then Paul. What a sermon title. Then Paul. After that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak. Now to tell us, having finished the account, the Jews, oh man, this is a closed case. So maybe by the movement of the hand, or the nodding of the head, the governor looks at him. Paul, what are you going to say? This man has your life in his hands. Oh, no, he don't. God has my life in his hands. After the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer
for myself. I'm not afraid. I've got good gold. Now, if you want facts, I'm fixing to tell them to you. It's going to be up to you what you do with them, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't got nothing to hide. Come on, saints. Tell the truth, and you can tell it the same way every time. Tell a lie, and you'll get caught in it because you'll tell it this way one time, and then another time you'll tell it another way. Let's just always say the truth. That's right. Since you're well acquainted with the customs and the habits of the Jews, I have no problem. As a matter of fact, I cheerfully stand before you. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, great Felix, I'm supposed to be a man who's caused this great revolt. I'm supposedly a causer of sedition. It's only been 12 days since I was in Jerusalem. And I would like to remind you, 9 of those days, I have been a prisoner. So if I have caused all this sedition in 3 days, I have really done something. Now watch him appeal to him just with common reasoning and understanding. It's only been 12 days. And he said, 9 of those days, you know how many days I've been there. I've been arrested 9 of those days. Does it make sense to you? I've not went around from one to the other to the other. I ain't had time. I ain't hardly had no time at all. I've been let in jail somewhere. You imagine Tertullus, by now he's already red as a beet. Oh, my. I know, Felix. Just listen and understand. Because thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. I was up there helping the poor. I was worshiping. I didn't try to convert one person. I didn't pull on nobody. I sowed no sedition. So say what you want to say, devil. Come on, saints. May we say the same thing by God's grace. Notice in verse 12, and we'll close. Neither found me in the temple disputing with any man. Neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. So in other words, boys, put up or shut up. You got evidence? Lay it out. If you don't, go back to the house. Praise be to God. Now, while the rest of this guy just spent all this time saying this and that and the other, Paul just laid out the truth. Now, you can tell the man is confident. He knows he's going to Rome. Now, he's not being a smart aleck, but he's simply laying out the facts. Let him prove it. Look at it yourself. I was only there so much time, been arrested for 9 days, and I've been here now for all these days waiting. They cannot prove I went out and done any of that. Amen. Let's stand. The book of Acts. Where have the miracles been in these last chapters we've looked at? Where's been the dead that's been raised? Where's people walking on water? What are we finding? People struggling. Dealing with the government. Dealing with church people. Dealing with liars. Dealing with people that's fallen away. This is the book of Acts. People say, oh, it's awful. People falling away from the message. No, it's not. It's part of the book of Acts. People fell away. People denied it. Some people would come right up to the cross, or they would come right up to having their head chopped off and recant. Recant right then. And some of them were so close to death, they would come right up on the rack. And maybe they'd pull an arm off and fixing to pull another one off. And they would recant and die 5 minutes later because of the damage done to their body. People have fell away from every message. And this one ain't going to be no different. It's the book of Acts. Are we going to be accused? We are. Will some of us have to appear before governors and whatever more? We may before we leave. Praise the Lord.
We may be arrested, we may be this, that, or the other, but whoever God qualifies to do it will be qualified to answer. Oh, but Brother Don, I won't know what to do. Don't worry about it. If you can't do it, you won't be one of them. Everyone that God allows to be will be qualified to stand. Praise the Lord. You believe that? This man is qualified. Now maybe put Peter up before that or put James up before that. Mine, it's not the same thing. Why? This man was ordained to do it. Somebody's got to fulfill that scripture. Somebody's got to stand before governors and kings with it. Somebody has got to do it. May God help each of us. We can find our place and stand and be another book of Acts. Don't you understand? Another book is being written right now. You say, where at? It's been written in the earth. It's been written by testimonies. Amen. What was the book of Acts? Testimonies. Amen. Testimonies being written down of what God done. It's going on around the world tonight. Amen. Not only healings and signs and wonders, opposition, trouble, falling away, having to, you know, stand for the truth, defend the truth. It's always been that way. May God give us courage to stand. You love Him with all your heart. Let's bow our heads together. Praise God. Can we expect to be falsely accused? We can be. The prophet tells us in the church age book, it's one of the greatest signs that there is that God is with us, is when we are persecuted. It's not the great sign that God's with you because you're so deep and so smart and know so much. No. Satan is smarter than all of us put together. God says about the devil, he's wiser than Daniel. Wiser than Daniel. The angels that fell, oh my, we couldn't compare to them in many ways. So that's not a sign that we're blessed of God because we can quote this or that or the other. But one sign is that we're tested, we're tried. The church that isn't suffering. You look at a fantastic preacher that's supposed to be so super duper this and that and the other. If the man ain't hated and despised and his church stood against, shun him. Get away from him. I don't care how swelling words he can use, get away from him. He don't have God's approval. A servant of God is hated, despised, rejected. Okay, Ephesus could call thousands of people together. Tens of thousands. Jesus could call a dozen. 120 on the day of Pentecost. It ain't by numbers, friends. You imagine if Caiaphas has called a meeting in Jerusalem, they'd been there to come in by the droves, tens of thousands of people. Jesus called 12, and his descent, ascending up rather, when the Holy Ghost ascended, 120 people in the upper room. And that was the beginning of his church. The world can call thousands. Certain moves around this message could cost thousands and thousands together in a gathering. Oh, that proves God's with us. It proves no such a thing. Proves no such a thing. Oh, don't you love Him? Don't you want to be faithful to Him? Oh, my. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how we thank You that Luke felt inspired to write these things in the Word of God. It may not seem spiritual to some. It may not seem that there's much revelation in the contents. It's simply because people don't know where to look for it. And they don't let You reveal it. But in reality, there's revelation all in it. We see Your hand moving and blessing this man, even though he was under this strain and difficulty. No doubt James and maybe some of the other peaceable brothers pondered in their minds, why does Paul have to be so controversial? Couldn't he be easier if he'd just be like us and be this and that and the other? But Paul was called for a different position. Lord, I pray that You'd help each of us to see the same thing tonight. You have men of God that are called for one category, for one office, men for another, men for another. May we realize, Lord, You're the one who calls them. It's You who's the one that gifts them and gives them their ability. We don't know exactly what the bride will go through before she leaves this world.
There may be some called into question. But whoever it is, if they're called in by the providence of God, you'll give them the words to say. I might not know what to say before a tribunal. I might not be the type of individual that would know how to respond. But no doubt we have men among us who could. Yet, Lord Jesus, we're not looking to be martyrs. We're not looking to be thrown in jail, as it were. We just each one want to find our place and be happy and be faithful and not be jealous of one another in any way. Thank you for men like Paul. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've called men to be able to stand in their position. It's the same among the laity. It's not just preachers alone. Some are called, Lord, to witness to people in a public way. Others are so shy and bashful, they just don't have the ability. And yet Satan will try to make them feel so bad because they don't go around and do it. If you call them to do it, you will equip them to do it, Lord. Then I pray you'd help each of us to find our spot and to get in that spot and be what you want us to be. And refuse to let the devil intimidate us. He is even better than Tertullus was. To stand and choose his words and select them out, Father, to condemn us and make us feel bad. But may we come right back with the simple word of God and said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. May each sister, each brother find their position and have confidence, Lord, of what you've called them to be. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Amen. Now before we raise our heads, how many would like to just be remembered before the Lord tonight? Each of you in your position. I'm sure some of you sisters, as you stand here tonight, you can't point to one soul that you've actually brought to the Lord. Maybe some of you cannot point to one convert that you've led or prayed through or led to the Lord Jesus. Maybe some of you cannot point to one person that you've led to the message and you think, God, what have I done? God, what have I done? If God calls you to do that, God will gift you to do it. Don't go out there and try to do it because somebody else does it and is successful. If God calls you to do that, He'll anoint you to do it and give you the words to say. If He don't do it, don't feel intimidated by the devil and by others. You find your spot and be happy. You may be an encouragement to your husband, your pastor, your children. You know, maybe God anoints you to write cards to people or say kind words, whatever more. You say, well, nobody knows nothing about it. Oh, but they do. God does. And that's what really matters. So find your place and just be what God wants you to be. You'd like to be remembered. You'd like prayer for that tonight. That God will help you. Not only find it, but to be able to be content with where you are. Let's pray together now, if you would. Heavenly Father, we know that our placing in the body of Christ is such a wonderful thing. Lord Jesus, Brother David Siler and I was talking just a few days ago about a certain minister. And Lord, you've given favor with people in the message. Remember the David was just discussing about the man and how you use the man. Now, he's not a great deep theologian, not a great deep preacher. Yet you've given him favor. And I told Brother David, I said, let me tell you one of the keys of it. The man knows he's not like this man or that man or another man, but he's satisfied and happy in what God made him. And he has confidence and faith in his position. So he goes right there, he preaches, he obeys God, and it shows by his obedience to the word. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us tonight. I'm that kind of a man, Lord. I'm not a great theologian. I'm not a great deep preacher. I'm not a great mesmerizing, gifted sort of guy like many of my brothers are. But I know what you've called me to be. So I can stand and have confidence, Lord. In my flesh, do I feel intimidated preaching with great preachers? Oh, I do. You know that. You know, I get nervous and I get all tore up about it. But ultimately, when it comes right down to it, I've got faith in what you made me. Then, Lord, I can look around and have faith that you're going to use that gift. Lord Jesus, I pray each of us tonight, in the visible audience, and in the invisible audience as well, that we can have confidence in who we are. That gives us faith. For the prophet said that Jesus looked into the Word, and he found his position, and it gave him faith.
than a housewife, a mother, a father, whatever more. We can look into the Word tonight. Hallelujah. And find our position and have faith. Well, I'm not this, I'm not that, but I'm not called to be. So, Lord, I don't have to worry about being Brother Tim. I don't have to worry about being Brother Ron or any other great preacher. I just got to be what you call me to be. Lord, help me to be faithful to that spot, Lord God. May each one of us here tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. How many wants to be what God made you? What God made you and nothing else. Nothing added to it. Nothing taking away. Just what God wants you to be. Praise be to God. God bless you, saints. Oh, let's give the Lord Jesus a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, let's sing the song we sung last Wednesday night. The devil don't like no shouting going on around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like, do we? Let's worship him a little bit, can we? I'll try not to make 332 verses out of it tonight. You just worship with me a little bit. Amen. Let's just sing a little before we go, can we? Praise the Lord. Well, the devil don't like us praising God around here. Oh, the devil don't like us praising God around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to praise our God with all our might. The devil don't like us praising God around here. Well, the devil don't like us praying for the sick around here. The devil don't like us praying for the sick around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to pray for the sick with all of our might. The devil don't like us praying for the sick around here. Now let's sing it this way. The devil don't like the sick being healed around here. Amen. Well, the devil don't like the sick being healed around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to pray for the sick and watch them heal tonight. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Well, the devil don't like us talking about William Branham around here. Well, the devil don't like us talking about God's prophet around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to talk about Malachi 4 tonight. The devil don't like us talking about Elijah around here. Come on, everybody, now. The devil don't like us saying we're going in the rapture around here. Well, the devil don't like us saying we're going in the rapture around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going in the rapture because it might be tonight. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Come on now. Well, the devil don't like us praising and shouting around here. Well, the devil don't like us praising and shouting around here. Well, I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm going to praise my God with all of my might. Well, the devil don't like us praising and shouting around here. Oh, the devil don't like us praising and shouting around here. The devil don't like us praising and shouting around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to praise our God with all of our might. The devil don't like us praising and shouting around here. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Me and Carol took Ellie to the physical therapy yesterday, and she was sitting in the back of my truck singing that song. Well, the devil don't like us praising God around here. She said, Poppy, I like that song. I said, I do too, Ellie. Anybody else here like it? We don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to praise our God with all of our might. Well, the devil don't like us shouting and singing around here. Can we do it one more time? Well, the devil don't like us worshiping God around here. Well, the devil don't like us worshiping God around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to worship our God with all of our might. Well, the devil don't like us worshiping God around here. Well, Jesus likes us worshiping Him around here. Hallelujah. Jesus likes us worshiping Him around here. And we really care what Jesus likes. We're going to worship our God with all of our mind. Well, Jesus likes when we worship God around here. Amen. We really please our Lord when we bless His name around here. We really please our Lord when we bless His name around here. And we want to please our blessed Lord. We're going to bless His name now forevermore. We really please our Lord when we bless His name around here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, mighty God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the devil don't like it because we praise God around you.
Praising God around here. Well, the devil don't like you praising God around here. I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm going to praise my God tonight. The devil don't like us praising God around here.
Well, the devil don't like us worshiping praise around here. Well, the devil don't like us worshiping and praising around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to worship our God with all of our might. The devil don't like it when we worship and praise around here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see Sister Joanne here tonight. She's just kind of bouncing around a little bit. She's got some new knees. But man, give her them. Before long, she's going to get some new ones God's going to give her. Not only her, all of us standing here tonight that's alive, we're going to get some new knees and some new feet and some new eyes and some new hair. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! And it ain't going to hurt and there ain't going to be no therapy. Praise be to God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mother Donnie, don't you ever get tired of this? Never. Never. Man, it looks like you get tired of it going to church three times a week and studying this, that, and the other. No. I've been serving Him since I was an 18-year-old boy, and I'll be 61 in July. 61! You imagine? Ancient of days. I'm happier now than I've ever been. Praise be to God. Oh, amen. Aren't you? If you aren't, you can be tonight. Let it be the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
God bless you, saints. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. God's so good in you. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for church. I just want to thank you for church, Lord. I'm so glad we can have church on Wednesday night, Jesus. I know some churches can't because of their situation, their building, whatever more, but oh my, I'd hate to think of us not being able to have it on Wednesday. I'm so grateful we can. I know some of our saints can't be here, and I know many of them would love to be. And I pray you bless them as they stream, Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. How we long to gather up at your house. Praise God. We'll fight our final fight one day. I'll preach my final sermon, study my last sermon. Then we get to come up to your place. But until that time, we want to be faithful, Lord, in all that we do. If we're called before great men, may we witness faithfully. If we're given the opportunity to the poor, to someone who's down in the gutter, and we feel that nudge of the Holy Ghost, may we follow your leading, Lord Jesus. We have the words of life, Lord, but yet we don't want to cast them before swine and let them be trampled under our feet. Make us sensitive, Father. Make us sensitive to your Spirit. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back this weekend if it be pleasing to you. I know you have some wonderful things for us to look upon, Lord. My heart has just been bursting the first few days of this week of what you've been showing me for this weekend, Lord. Hallelujah. We're living in such a great, great hour. Thank you for it, Father. Go with us now, Lord, I pray. Bring us back at the appointed time. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen. Turn and shake hands with one another. Say, God bless you. Brother, sister, it's been good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's been good to be together tonight in His presence. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, the devil don't like us loving one another around here. The devil don't like us loving one another around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna love one another with all of our might. The devil don't like us loving one another around here. Well, the devil don't like the seven thunders preached around here. Come on now, saints. Well, the devil don't like them seven seals preached around here. Well, I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm gonna talk about the thunders and the seals all I like. The devil don't like the mysteries preached around here. Glory! Well, the devil don't like it when this old man shouts around here.